good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Meta Centre. So good to familiarise yourself here and to meet you all here. There's some new faces and some people who've come from other places as well. And we were doing a bit of market research just now in terms of where people have come from, and they really have come from all over Sydney. Yeah.
Wow.
But I think so far you probably came the furthest.
Yes.
So welcome everyone, and I would also like to welcome Jeff Oliver here, and so thankful for him to be able to share his time and his experience and his teachings here today at the Meta Centre. And the course that he'll be doing with us today is a day course on forgiveness for everyone, and that's based on the title of his book, Forgiveness for Everyone, and that's available online if anyone's interested to read it. And of course the answer is yes, we're all interested to read it. Now, Jeff grew up at Shirley Beach, where he came from today as well. So he's still there.
Yep.
And trained as a Buddhist monk for 9 years in Burma. And throughout that time, he learned many great qualities of the heart, of which forgiveness is one of the most important. Jeff has been teaching meditation for over 20 years. And he has found that forgiveness is perhaps the greatest foundation and preparation for meditation and for being a great person, living in peace and harmony with a loving heart. Forgiveness is an important part of our spiritual practice, and I really hope that you all enjoy today's session and get something from it as well. So without further ado, enjoy yourself. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Tina. So please make yourself comfortable. Just let go of anything that you're holding on to. Well, our format for today will be just to maybe do a little bit of meditation first, if you don't mind. I can guide you in a short meditation. And then I'll open up to the topic for this afternoon. We'll have a little break halfway through, and we'll finish off with some questions and answers, discussion, and what have you. So, the main meditation that I do is Vipassana meditation, which is, I have to assume that perhaps you don't know anything, maybe you come here, or maybe you know more than me, I don't know, but so I'll just assume that you're definitely new to me. So Vipassana meditation is simply mindfulness meditation, or mindfulness and insight. And also, I use the terms awareness and wisdom as well. So whenever we apply mindfulness or awareness to our body and mind in the present moment, which is our current reality, then we may see or feel, experience something in its true nature, which we may not normally experience due to our busyness of our mind or being caught up in the external world. So bringing your attention, your awareness, back to your body and mind in the present moment may help you to see something about yourself, about your life, which may change your life. So seeing something that you haven't seen before is insight, a little flash of wisdom. When you get many little flashes of wisdom, these become a greater wisdom. And this greater wisdom is then what we continue to carry into our life. And this is how life changes. And it's a very beautiful journey. It's a very beautiful flow that when we understand this flow, it's really very peaceful. It's very harmonious. It's very simple. It's far more simple than we really understand. Even meditation techniques, and if you read books on Buddhism, etc., it can seem very complicated. Sometimes we get confused, we're not really sure, should I be doing this kind of meditation or that kind of meditation? However, when you practice mindfulness and you just come back to what's happening here and now, which is being taught by some of the most amazing teachers on the planet at the moment, like Eckhart Tolle and a few other great spiritual teachers. All they're suggesting is that you just come back to what's happening in your body and mind right now. And of course, the Buddha taught this 2,500 and something years ago. So we can practice just a little bit of that now. Again, I'll just assume that you don't know anything, so forgive me for just prompting you and perhaps guiding you a little bit. But just make yourself comfortable. Let go of anything that you're holding on to physically, and if you can, mentally. One thing that the Buddha taught very often, you find it throughout the suttas, the teachings, is teaching awareness of our senses. I find it very simple and quite relaxing to just come back to my senses. All of your physical senses, your five physical senses, are only happening in the present moment. They may have happened in the past, they may continue into the future. However, your present moment experience is based on what you experience at your senses. So just listen to the sounds around. It's nice to drop any resistance or any judgment about the sound, but just hearing. A very simple question you might like to ask yourself, just a little experiment. Am I hearing now? Just in those few moments after you ask the question, the mind stops. It's just checking. It's mindful. It's aware. It doesn't need to think. Just try it again. Am I thinking now? Oh, sorry, am I hearing now? Feeling the body now. Am I breathing now? Just gently feeling each in-breath and each out-breath. Relaxing as you breathe in, relaxing as you breathe out. And enjoy breathing. Enjoy each in-breath and each out-breath. And enjoy the awareness of the sensation, feeling each in-breath and each out-breath. Thought may arise in your mind, perhaps about the past or the future. You can simply acknowledge it and gently come back to the breath and relax. Relax your shoulders, your face. Just feeling the in-breath. Feel the breath coming deeper into the body. Notice how your body moves a little bit with the breathing. The chest, even the abdomen, the stomach moves a little bit. Gently extend your awareness, to feel your arms, your hands, and your legs, and your feet. And feel your face, your whole body. This is the sense of feeling, one of the five physical senses. And again, be aware of hearing. And gently smell the air. And taste your mouth, whatever taste there may be. When your eyes are closed, you may see some color or light. When you are ready, in your own time, you may open your eyes. Be aware of seeing. And check your mind. Am I thinking? Am I aware? Am I present? Am I relaxed? So it's a nice, simple meditation, checking your senses. Feeling the breath, being present,
checking your mind. If you like, you can move. Sit comfortably as you wish. Always like to start with a little meditation that seems to bring everybody's mind to the present moment, to here and now. Helps you to concentrate a little bit. I think all meetings, all gatherings of people should start with some bringing together of the minds. You may remember what it's like to be at school or at lectures at university or something where maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 people there, but their minds are all in different places and the teacher's trying to teach and seems to be lost in the ether. But when we bring our minds to our body, especially coming back to our senses, to what's happening here and now, you feel more calm, more concentrated. You're actually more ready to learn, to absorb new information. So, as I said, please sit comfortably. If you would like to record what I say this afternoon, I know it's already being recorded, but if you'd like to record it yourself, feel free to do that. If you'd like to take notes, that's also very useful, either on your phone or by writing notes down. Because what I'm going to give you this afternoon is a technique. It's actually a step-by-step way of investigating your mind. And it's not a hard and fast technique. It can be played with as you wish. You can use it according to your own circumstances, or your own conditioning, how you feel. This technique came to me as an email many, many years ago when I was still a monk in South Africa, actually. My teacher had a monastery in South Africa, a Burmese Buddhist monastery, so I was one of the teachers there. And I got this email that had forgiveness in three parts. And I found it really curious. The first part was to forgive yourself for harming others. The second part was to forgive yourself for harming yourself. And then only the third part was to forgive others for harming you. And I'd never heard of this before, even through Buddhist teachings. Yes, there was probably mention of forgiving yourself, but there wasn't any technique. So I took the simple technique that came in this email, I actually practiced it, and then I developed my own technique out of that. So what I'm going to offer you today is really my own experience, my own technique. As we mentioned, it is in a book called Forgiveness for Everyone. And it's also available to download for free. So feel free to download it. In that case, you don't need to make notes because you can just download it and read it for yourself. The reason why I wanted to put it in book form was because I'm lazy to talk all the time. I thought I could just hand people a book, here, just do it yourself. So it is actually a do-it-yourself book. And the beauty of it being in a book is that you can refer back to it and you can go back to it again. Whereas if you just come to a talk, you could sit here for the next 2 or 3 hours and go, oh yeah, this is really nice, it's really good stuff, you know, forgiveness is a good thing and you agree with it. But you go home and, you know what our memories are like. Even our listening capacity
is very limited. Actually, it's probably not limited, but the way we use it is very limited. So we tend not then to really focus on the practice or do it very specifically. We may do it generally, you might pick up some new tips, but if you've got basically a handbook or something that you can come back to and remember and refer to and repeat the exercises, it's in the beginning it seems quite formal learning the technique and repeating the system, but then as time goes by it starts to become easier, you start to personalize it, it starts to become your own way of thinking. And in fact, when you have really worked on your own forgiveness, when you've learned how to forgive yourself for harming others, forgive yourself for harming yourself, and even then been able to forgive others for harming you, it becomes so easy that you almost just think of forgiveness and the process has already happened. So what I'm offering you in the beginning may seem a little technical, it may seem a little awkward to remember the steps, but you can personalize it yourself, and as you practice it, you will find that it becomes a lot more fluent, it becomes your own thought stream and your own way of practicing forgiveness. The reason I wrote about forgiveness is because, not only because I'm lazy to talk about it, but also because I was trained in Vipassana meditation. It's the only meditation that I've continued throughout all these 20 plus years of my practice. And I lead meditation retreats, mostly overseas, in various countries. So what I found was that people come to retreats, and especially if a retreat is a little bit longer, like more than 10 days, if it's 2 weeks or even longer, even on a short retreat, people can be very caught up in their past. And if you are trying to meditate in the present, but your mind's busy thinking about the past, which could be this morning, yesterday, last week, last month, last year, 10, 20, 30, whatever years ago, then you're so caught up in what happened in the past that you can't be present. And this is where people will say, and they report to the teacher, oh, I keep thinking about the past, I'm struggling with the past, I'm trying to work through old trauma or things like this. So this forgiveness is a way that you can overcome these living in the past or reliving the past. And what I wrote on the back of my book as just a little tempting quote, many people don't need to meditate. They need to do forgiveness, which is a pretty bold statement. But I believe if anyone, especially anyone who has a lot of trouble with their past, if they practice forgiveness, really, really practice forgiveness, they will become so mindful, because it's also a mindfulness practice. You can't do forgiveness without awareness being present. I use awareness and mindfulness interchangeably, by the way, so it means the same thing. You can't do forgiveness without being mindful. And so it already develops a type of mindfulness, especially mindfulness of the mind, where we do experience our suffering and our mental problems and our thoughts about the past, our memories from the past. So by working on forgiveness, it helps you to clear the past. If you can quite well clear the past, means you're already in the present. So if you're in the present, you probably don't need to meditate because you're already present. And it also helps you to let go of those
things that keep recurring, those thoughts that keep coming back and blocking you in the present. The mindfulness then of those things will then help you as you continue to practice in your mindfulness practice. So it has many benefits. Then, so even if you feel that you don't really need to do forgiveness now, some people say, oh, I don't need to do forgiveness, or I've already done forgiveness, or things like that, it's still handy to have a technique that if in the future, while you go down along your journey, especially the journey of meditation and spiritual journey, there may be things that you thought that you'd cleared up in the past, or things that you didn't even realize would pop up again in the future. So you never know when you've actually really cleared your past. So it's still handy to have this technique whenever problems arise. And the other reason for having a good technique for forgiveness is that if somebody else that you know is having problems with their past and their mind, etc., you can offer them something a little more concrete rather than just say, oh, you need to do forgiveness, but actually offer them a technique that they can pick it up and run with it, or actually use the technique. So the first part to forgiveness, the first step, I'll call it, is to forgive yourself for harming others. Now, this is in conformity with most of the Buddha's teachings. I've realized that it's all about coming back to yourself. Instead of looking out into the world, trying to fix the world, or even trying to observe the external world, which most of us do naturally, Buddha's teachings is usually, mostly, asking us to come back into our own mind, to check with ourselves first. So here, forgiveness is doing the same thing. How did I harm others? Instead of trying to forgive others who harmed us, how have I harmed others? So you can do this as a distinct practice for yourself. You could have even a daily forgiveness practice, and you can go through the steps as I'm offering. So you can ask yourself, who did I harm? Now, it could be just somebody from this morning. It could have been 10 minutes ago. You know, you maybe came here with a family member, or you had some disagreement with somebody in a shop or a taxi driver or something, and you might have been angry, you might have said something that that upset that person. Or it could be from yesterday, it could be from work, it could be about your boss, it could be any partner or relationship that you have in your life. It's very common that when we are not mindful in our speech, actions and thoughts, that we do harm other people. It's just, it's for most of us, it's a normal part of life. In fact, it's so normal that most people don't even realize that it's happening. You don't realize that you're harming other people in your life. And that's because we are unaware. We don't realize how harmful we can be. Most of us think that arguing in a relationship is normal, and that it's just normal that you have arguments, and then you make up after the argument, and then you go along for a while, and then you have another argument, and then you make up again. And for most people, I believe this is the normal way of not only a relationship with a partner, but also your relationships in families. And some families, it's so normal that everybody's arguing and almost abusing each other that they don't even see that that's not normal. It's so normal that it's just a part of life. Which is a bit sad, I must say. So you reflect on yourself and just ask yourself,
who did I harm? It's best not to go to somebody or think about somebody with whom you have a very deep, long, and complicated relationship. It's better to start with somebody that you just have a simple, maybe, problem or a misunderstanding with. It could be just somebody at work. It could be just somebody you know. Or you could just pick one little incident that happened with your partner or with somebody that you're in a long-term relationship, like your mother, your father, or family member or something. And just choose one little incident. So, who did I harm is the question. Somebody pops up in your mind. And then ask yourself, how did I harm this person? Was it by speech, action, or thought? So these are the three modes of karma. These are the three actions that people are doing every day in their life. They're speaking, they're acting, and they're thinking. All of these are causes, and all of them have effects. This is our human life. It's one way to describe your human life, is you speak, you act, and you think. It's very simple, it's very basic. But all of these are causes and all of them have effects, even your thoughts. People think, oh, they're my thoughts. They don't affect anybody or anything. However, but it affects your karma. And your thoughts are creating your speech and your actions. So they're inextricably?
Connected.
Yeah, which means connected. Yeah. I just confused myself with a big word. You won't hear me using too many big words. And if you want to read a really simple book, just pick up my book. It's really simple. It's all interrelated and interconnected. So your speech, your actions, your thoughts. Now, how did I harm this person? Was it just by speech? Or was it by action? Or was it simply by thought? It sounds a bit strange that you could harm somebody only by thought, but they are actually measuring these days that thoughts actually have a field. They manifest in a field around us. So a thought, have you ever been standing next to somebody or been with somebody? It could be somebody you know or even a stranger, and you just feel a really like bad vibe from them?
Yes.
Or, yes. For some sensitive creatures, this is a daily event. Some of us who are a little more thick-skinned, we may not know what I'm talking about. But on the other hand, sometimes you can be near somebody and feel a very loving, very soft and warm and beautiful presence as well. Isn't that right? Yeah. So, these are not only coming from their thoughts, but of course their general persona, their mental state, and their general state of being as they are at that time. So even sometimes when a person walks into a room, especially when you're doing meditation, and if somebody comes in, not only do they come in late and didn't join the meditation, then they're a bit sort of anxious or something from outside, but it's almost like you can feel like a wave of energy coming from this person. And they might have been, you know, they might have just had an argument or something, and they kind of come into the room like a cyclone or something. So we can definitely feel people's energies. And this is also coming from their thoughts. The thoughts that they're having are generating their emotions, which generates the energy. And we can pick up on this. And it could be harmful to some extent. So, was it speech, actions, or thoughts? Or I even add, for multiple choice, D, all of the above, which in the case of a partner or a relationship that you're with someone, then usually we hurt them by speech, actions, and thoughts. Mm-hmm. So it can be all of the above. So what I'm doing here is by asking these very specific questions, what I'm doing is I'm objectifying your investigation. Because what you would normally do when you think about your relationship with somebody, or you think about the argument that you had or the situation, your mind, Mr. or Mrs. Ego, will always justify itself and confirm itself to be right. Have you noticed that? That everybody else is wrong and you're always right? And it really just doesn't matter whether you're a nice person or not a nice person. Even nice people just think they're right all the time. And angry people, etc. And you don't have to be a politician to think that you're right all the time and everybody else is wrong, etc. So it's just a normal situation of the human ego that we tend to believe that we are right and everybody else is wrong. So we then go into a justification mode when we're replaying the story of what happened with that person, maybe an argument or some kind of a fight or disagreement or something, verbally, physically or mentally. Then we go into justification and we start saying, well, she shouldn't say that, she was in the wrong, or he can't do that, and I was right because I did. And so we go back into the story. And you get back into the story, you're lost. And you've been over this story like 100 times, 1,000 times. And again, this comes back to when you're trying to meditate. I don't know if any of you have done long meditation retreats like we do in Burma or Thailand and such places. But these meditation retreats are, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year long retreats. So when you're meditating in a silent retreat, you're not interacting with other people, you've got a lot of time to think. That's not what the meditation's for. But you end up thinking a lot and stuff comes up. But actually, this is what a meditation retreat is for, especially a mindfulness meditation retreat. Because in mindfulness training, we're not stopping thoughts. Thinking is a human nature. So what we're doing is we're observing them. And we're allowing them to come up. It doesn't mean you have to follow them and enjoy them and go on and think about them. But we're watching the nature of thought. And so in long-term retreats, all this old stuff starts bubbling up to the surface of your mind. And that's when you start going back into stories. Things come up that you don't even remember that you remembered them. You think that this thing was finished and forgotten, 30 years ago. And here you are, trying to be all peaceful and zenned out in some, meditation center, or in my case, I was a Buddhist monk in Myanmar, sitting in a meditation hall, surrounded by Buddhist monks and nuns and whatever. And, old stuff's coming up and, you're having this argument again and it's replaying in your mind and this old stuff's coming up, you're almost boiling, sitting there in your mind. And you get lost in this, you get caught up in it. It's nice when that stops. It's there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it sounds like it's coming from this side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get stuck in these old mental states, and we're in there trying to justify ourselves, trying to prove ourselves right. And this is where what we need to do is we need to develop an objective awareness. This is what I try to encourage people to do in Vipassana meditation, is to develop an objective awareness of mental processes and physical processes. But the same thing in this forgiveness practice, that we can objectively see the story from the past and not try to solve the problem, because that's what you end up doing. You end up lost in the thoughts, going around and around and again, trying to think through what happened with that person.